Father, thank you that we can come together today. We just ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may quicken our mind and our hearts to be able to hear your word, to be able to understand it, to receive it, Lord, to allow it to work in our life. Thank you for what you have done for us, Lord, and just thank you for everything you are going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to just start today looking at some things that we started last week to make sure that we can continue on those thoughts that often, you know, they're really forgotten to a degree. And we want to make sure, okay, to realize the importance to understand some things, because when we understand some basic truth, this has great consequences in the terms that we are going to look at some of the other information that may be not so fundamental, but is going to come out as a result of the basic truth that we have to know. Otherwise, what happens, you know, we build up not on solid ground, but on ideas of men instead of ideas that the Word gives to us. So we have to always go back to that, go back to the Word, to make sure that the things that we believe, the things that we understand, are actually scriptural and are not just made up things, because today there are a lot of made up things that we are exposed to. So the first things, okay, that I want to go back to is last week we were talking about Paul sharing to the Athenians, okay, try to minister to them, try to reach out to them. Okay, one of the things he said in Acts 17:28 is, in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of you post, your poet says, you know, for we are his, also his offsprings, you know. And really, this, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but it's interesting to understand that this verse, this what he was saying, he was not talking to believers, he was talking to non-believers. You know, depending on who a verse or a sentence is in the Bible, changes everything if you are looking at talking to believers or you're talking to non-believers. In this case, he's talking about non-believers, and he said, in him we live and move and have our beings. They have nothing to do with him, according to the way all the verses it talks about being in Christ, all the verses it talks about being, you know, here he's not talking about that at all. The in him is the same for all the other verses, but the meaning is completely different. And if we don't understand that, we, you know, I heard lots of people using that scripture say, why, you know, we are in him, you know, we're just, you know, he's talking about non-believers, not to believers. The implication there is enormous in not making that difference. See, be careful when scriptures are used out of context. The meaning depends completely on the context. And here what he's saying essentially is the fact that, you know, God created everybody and created all the laws of in this world, all the way that everything functions, all the rules that are we are under, you know, all the physical laws, spiritual laws, all the things were put together by God, and they apply to everybody. And if they know him or not knowing him doesn't make any difference. You know, gravity works for everybody. Spiritual principles work for everybody. You know, if somebody does the wrong thing, you know, if he's a Christian, he's wrong. And if he's non-Christian, he's wrong yet. Are you following what I'm saying? And here he's saying to us, you know, that what is he really telling us? All this in him, we move, we live and move and have our being. You see, our existence, our, the way we function, everything that has to do with us, all the way we function is connected, depending on him completely. We have our being. Everything is held together, in the scripture, by him. Okay? So he's not saying, you know, that there's a special thing. No, he was talking to pagan here. Okay? That means one thing. God is in control of everything. Even in this messy world. He knows, and everything functions according to his principles. Okay? Understanding that is important. Because if you don't understand that, and we do it by what many people say today, well, you know, when Adam gave up his authority, you know, accepted the devil's suggestion, you know, we lost everything. God hasn't lost anything. We lost it. And the people that accept what the devil says are under him. The other ones are not. So we can put our trust in him today as ever. This is what all the world says. Old Testament, New Testament. We can trust God because God is faithful and his principle functions for everybody the same way. God has not preferences. The Bible says very clearly that. If we don't understand that, we end up getting mixed up by expecting things differently because somebody said that. We have to look what the word says, not what somebody said. This is very important to understand. See, that's what it says in the Old Testament, that is true in the New Testament even more, for believers especially. You know, in the Old Testament, Psalm 103, verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. That means up there. And his kingdom rules over all. Doesn't say just some areas. You know, the world, his kingdom is right here and he's ruling it. He's in control. Things, nothing happens without his will. Allowing it. But he's fair and he's just and he has to do according to things that are fair. So he cannot, you know, for somebody make the rules and then, you know, to please somebody. He does not please. You have to please God, not God please you. That's very important to understand because otherwise we think we can tell God what to do. And sometimes there are scriptures that can be misunderstood that way, but you cannot tell God what to do. If you think that, you are really going to be in trouble because that's what initially, you know, rebellion is. Okay? Let me continue. Okay? Praise the Lord. See, Jesus talked very clearly to people that had been indoctrinated in the wrong thing, believing the thing in John chapter 8, verse 43. Okay? He said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" And they said, he was talking to the most religious people that were on the face of the earth. The people that have been trained according to the word, so according to what God says, supposedly, you know, and he was talking to them and telling, you know, you, why don't you understand what I'm talking about? Why don't you understand me? And then he says why? Because you are not able to listen to my words. Okay, then continues. See, so how people get confused or deceived. They were deceived. That's what it's saying here. They couldn't understand what he was talking about, so they were deceived. And these people thought that they had it, that they understood everything, that they were coming out from, you know, educated by the schools in which they thought about the word. And Jesus said, you cannot even hear what I'm saying. Okay. Let me continue here. The following verse says very clearly, you are of your father, the devil. I mean, tell somebody that is really think he's so good, so religious, so knowing everything. Okay? He just didn't like what Jesus was saying because it wasn't according to their own ideas. Okay, let me continue. Okay, why? Okay, because, you know, you are the father of the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. So you see, has nothing to do with all the training, you know, has to do with the position of their heart, and they want what they want was the important thing, not what the word said. Okay? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Okay? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, you know, he speaks a lie. Okay? And he speaks from whom, you know, from, when he is the word I added there to discuss, from his own resources added, but really it's from his own ideas that come across. Okay, for he's a liar and the father of it. So the idea is saying, you know, that shows us to us how wrong doctrines come about. Because that's what was going on with them. Okay, was because they had an idea of what the truth was. They had an idea of what they believed, and they believed more that than what Jesus was saying. And Jesus knew at the truth, but they are just going according to their own desire. You see, our desire is not the basis to go by. Because in that case, what we do is we block ourselves and from being able even to hear or to receive what the word is saying. Okay? See? So this is the problem. Okay? So we have to really be open the way Jesus was to direction of the Father. That's what he said. You see, this is the one that we have to imitate, and he came to, as a man so that we could imitate him. You know, is we had to have the same attitude, the same way of thinking, the way his position that he had concerning everything in his life. And, you know, John 5:30 said very clearly, I can do nothing on myself. As I hear, I judge. You see, the judgment is the things that we have concerning, you know, the things that are right or wrong, the things that we believe, okay? And says, and my judgment is righteous because, and that's the key, I do not, you know, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You see, that is the key to actually be able to hear anything from God, from the Holy Spirit, or from other things. You know, we are after His will. You say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, that's the first part to do. You start going to the Word, not putting the meaning of things according to what you want, but I'll be open to whatever things they're actually saying there. Okay, what you can understand, good. What you cannot understand, that's the job of the Holy Spirit to bring it back to you, to make you understand it. You see, He is, okay, is not our will, His will. Okay. I'm saying that's not necessarily very easy. Because we have needs, because we have you know, things that we want to go in a certain way. And so we have an agenda to start with. And what we had to do when you go before God, you cannot go to God with your agenda. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. Doesn't matter how important that agenda is for you. You have to let it go, otherwise you're not going to hear anything. That's how Jesus functions. That's how Jesus operated. That's why he could see and hear and not get into error. Otherwise, you're going to get into error because you're going to push things your own way. See, our flesh is not weak, strong. We have ideas of our own, And we had to let go of that if we are going to be able to hear properly, you know, what the Holy Spirit is telling us. It doesn't matter if you're born again or whatever it is, okay, or the old, any of the experiences you had, you know, if you have your own agenda, if you want to, you know, pump up your ego, you're going to get in trouble. I can assure you, it doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. Jesus said it very clearly, unless you die to self, you cannot, you know, you won't have life. That's Jesus' message. Is the message today that you hear from the pulpit? Here, yes, but not many places. Why? Because that's not very popular. Because the flesh doesn't like it. It's as a result of that what you're going to get. The same thing that the Pharisees were getting. They got what they wanted, you know, because they had their own agenda, and they couldn't hear Jesus. What Jesus said could not get through to them. And they were much more, you know, keen and fanatic than most of the Christians today. They were splitting even the spices that they had to make sure that everything was according to the rules. But it doesn't work that way. Well, the way it works, that you had to be able to connect with the Father, you had to connect with Jesus, to hear his voice and to be directed. And that's why he sent the Holy Spirit to change things so that we wouldn't be anymore in the impossible situation that the Pharisees were, because the Holy Spirit was not in them. And, you know, it's not that God wasn't talking to them too. God, the Holy Spirit, talk to everybody from the beginning. Wasn't dwelling in them all the time in the way it should be now. In us, if you're born again believer. Okay. We should be in an advantage with respect to anybody. Jesus said, you know, even the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Anybody, the littlest one in the kingdom of God is greater than they. Why? Because they got the Holy Spirit inside them, guiding them. And we had to learn to use that, what is available to us, what Jesus made available to us. And he said it himself, you know, it's an advantage I'm good, because I can be everywhere. Okay, we had to appreciate, you know, that's why I always say, you know, if we had to learn from somebody, we had to go to the gospel and the other part, because there's two, but to see what Jesus really was putting his emphasis on, what he was giving importance to, because he knew what he was talking about better than everybody else. His focus was important. Okay, so he is the one, really, that we had to imitate. And this is what the world says that we had to do. That's the world says all the time. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know. And this is what boils down to, because we know that the Lord, okay, is in control. The Lord is reliable. The Lord is still in control. And we can trust in the things he said to us. So the one we have to do is really to trust in him. That's the fundamental step that we have to take. No matter what the situation is, we are not looking at the situation. We are going to be looking at the word, because the word has the truth. And this is permanent. It's not temporary. Okay. And so, you know, Proverbs 3, you know, 5 to 10, those are really scriptures that are valid all the time. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't make any difference. The principles are the same. Trust, you know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledge him, That means, you know, you allow him to be connected with you. The word there is actually hadas, so that actually you know his operation and you're open to the operation to you. Okay, so in that knowledge, and he will direct your path. Don't we be wise in your own eyes? Okay, fear the Lord. That's important because that keep us in the path, the right path, depart from evil. Okay, and he, you know, then there are going to be all the benefits there. This is where the benefit come from. It's not from our own ideas. You know, we have to go according to the word. Okay? The word is truth. If we don't believe the word, then it's no use to play games and you just don't worry about things. But if you believe that the word is what God spoke to us so that we may have direction, then you have to go by it. Okay. And one of the important things they said again there is, you know, Jesus' attitude is the attitude we should have. Okay. And the attitude that he had, you know, as they said, you know, the instruction for us in Philippians chapter 2 is to have the same mind, the same attitude. The word there is not mind, it's attitude, because it's phroneo, which means, you know, the position you have inside. Okay. It says, you know, the Lord, let mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the form of God, but did not count equality with God something to be grasped. So if he didn't, we shouldn't either. Okay. And that's important to understand, you know, and that some people push that doctrine far beyond what the Bible says. Okay. So continue here. Okay. And though he was God, you know, so not something to be grasped, but emptied himself. I mean, you know, he decided not to use his prerogative as God, essentially, but taking the form of a servant, being in the likeness of man, so he was operating like we do, okay? And before being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And really, he's showing to us, you know, this mentality should be in us, that we are obedient to him, to the direction that he gives us, to the word, essentially, they give us direction. And we have to go to the word to see what the direction is for us to walk. Now, this is one of the first things, you know, that probably is the fundamental principle for us to get any direction from God. If we do not operate like him, we are not going to be able to hear God's voice or the Holy Spirit voice. So it's not what we want, it's what he wants that is going to give us freedom and the ability to connect with him. Okay? That's important to understand. And because he was obedient, obedience is critical. We cannot, you know, the freedom of the children of God is not that they can do whatever they want to do in the flesh. The freedom of the children of God, they are not bound by the sins and the wanting to do the wrong thing. We are not anymore slave to sin. But we are slave to righteousness. That means we are compelled by that to operate in a certain way. And if we don't, we have a problem in our relationship with God. Simple as that. Praise the Lord. If one doesn't preach that and preach the opposite, that is a doctrine of demon. Because demon will tell you, doesn't matter what you do, you know, when you are going to eat the fruit, you're going to be knowing all things like God. And that's a lie that they took at the beginning, and these are the same lies that is spread today by false doctrine. Okay? We have to understand those things. Okay? The fact that they say Jesus, Jesus means nothing. It's the truth that makes a difference. So this is really important for us to know. And because he was obedient unto death, to the point, you know, and humble himself, okay, therefore God has highly exalted him above every name, okay, and bestowed him a name above every name. Earth, in the earth, in the heaven, everywhere. Why? Because he submitted himself to God. And it's the same thing today. Who exalt himself is humbled, and who is humble himself will be exalted. And Jesus thought about that also very clearly. So these are general spiritual principles that God put in place for everybody, everywhere. When we understand that, then we are going to be able to connect with him, hear him, and he's going to be able to direct us. Otherwise, you know, it becomes very difficult, like the Pharisees did. You see, the Pharisees, with their ideas, with their theologies, they put their theology above what Jesus was talking about, above what Jesus was demonstrating. And doesn't fit their theology, and so they rejected everything, and it was against their own pride, their own position. You know, who is this guy, the son of a carpenter? Okay. That's the mentality that is developed when we start thinking that we know better than God, and we, you know, get our interpretation of things according to our own way because we have certain ideas, we have accepted certain theologies, we accepted certain things that we believe in. God speaks to us to show us clearly what is true and what is not. Okay, so now the implication. You see, the implication is, again, we've been talking about today and for some time, you know, that we had to look at Jesus as our example to follow. He gave up all his prerogative so that we can see that if he did it, we can do it too. Okay, after you're born again, at least. Okay, that's the first step. That's the beginning of the transition, or the transformation for our salvation. He made possible for us to be saved. He is our Savior, and he made possible for us to walk free. At the beginning, it's going to be limited because we don't even know too much about spiritual things. And we have to understand spiritual things. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit inside us so he can guide us into all truth. Okay, and he's going to do that as he promised. Okay, praise the Lord. And really, again, many places in the Bible shows have the same mind, the same attitude. Jesus said, you know, look at him. He is the source. Through him, you get to the Father. You know, no other way to go to the Father than through him. You know, all the time. That means, you know, you have to go according to the path that God has established. Okay. Then, you know, again, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says it again that. That's, again, it's an instruction for us. Okay, how to see that we had to walk the way Jesus walked. Okay. He, by walking the way he walked, he was able to overcome the greatest things in the whole world for everybody. Everybody that wants to take advantage of what he did, he wants to receive what he did, can just believing in him and repenting on their thing. Just be willing to change the way they think and starting to think the way Jesus thought. You see, the way Jesus thought is the way to walk by faith. Okay? And he definitely did. And because of that, he was able to be obedient even unto death. So it says, you know, in Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So this is where our faith starts and the way our faith can grow. Okay? It's by looking unto Jesus that we can develop our faith, because we had to put, you see, our faith is nothing else. That not just trusting God, I say that's what it is, but, you know, we trust God through what Jesus has done. So we have another element here, not just trusting God, but we have Jesus' example, just, you know, what he did, what he overcame. He overcame all the principalities of power. He has complete victory over everything, even for us, because he took all our problems and our sins and our limitations and our things so that we may receive them. But, you know, the fact that he did doesn't do any good if we are not participating with him, if we are not willing to align ourselves up with him. See, that works only for people that are actually agreeing with what he has done, believing what he has done, and responding to what he was always saying. I mean, loving him, you know, boiling down to is, you know, if you love me, obey my commandment. If you don't obey my commandment, you don't love me. And you're just there for a ride. And that doesn't do anything. That doesn't allow us to receive anything, because this is something that has to happen at the level of our heart, in which we accept what he did for us and we accept what the requirements are to benefit from it. Okay. But even then, when we are born again, we don't get the whole package. No one gets the whole package, and the whole package, I mean, all the benefits is going to be when our body is going to be coming out as his body. And that is as his second coming. For now, he's working on us to teach us, to make us grow, to open up to his principle so that we can walk, hopefully, better and better in it. You know, our salvation is growing in us to manifest more and more the way Jesus did. What Jesus did in his position, so that we are lining up ourselves with the Lord, with Jesus, the way to do things, okay, becoming obedient like he was, okay, in all the different things. And as we do that, okay, the bondage to sin is broken. See, bondage to sin is not broken automatically. See, the bondage of sin is broken when we make the decision to reject the values and the principle that were making us do those things. And we embrace the values and the principle that operated in Jesus. And that is repentance. Repentance is simply a change of position that you have concerning this is good and this is bad. I want this, I don't want that. And unless we make those decisions, we cannot receive. That is the alignment that Jesus expects from us to be able to benefit from the things he did for us. Are you following what I'm saying? Understanding that principle, thinking that just saying a little prayer and everything is resolved is nonsense. You know, if you say there is a prayer with the right intention, with the right understanding, you know, you are opening up your heart. Now you start to get the correction, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to grow into your freedom. Otherwise, you're going to go around just doing this. You know, there are people that are born again, and after 50 years, they're not much different from when they're born again. They don't know anything. They haven't studied the Word. They haven't got into the Word, and they're just as fleshy as they were then. I don't know what's going to happen with them, but certainly, you know, they haven't got much farther than what they were before. And I question if that was really a proper repentance that took place at the beginning. But I'm not God, and I'm not going to judge them. What I'm going to say is the evidence are that actually what God wants you to do in their life is not accomplished. And it's not because God doesn't want to, it's because they don't care. Because if you care, see, the things that you care, the things that you value, are going to be the things that you're going to spend your time and energy in. If you don't, you see, that's why first commandment is the critical. Don't need many. Love your God with everything you got. That may be a shortened down version, but really, bottom line, that's what it's saying. And if we don't do that and we have other things, that means we have idols and there is a conflict right there in your heart. And doesn't balance out. You are not going to receive or manifest many of the things that God promises, because the promises are connected with your connection with Him. You always, you know, ye and amen in Christ Jesus. Now in Him, the way it was said at the beginning when I started today, and the way I say now with the scripture that is, you know, the promise of ye and amen in Christ Jesus, is a completely different meaning. In this case, is how connected you are with Him so that you may be able to, you know, manifest His life in you. This is really the different manifestation or different experience that a born-again believer should have and can expect. This is why, you know, not on time people, you know, want something but don't get it. You know, and they pray about it and doesn't, nothing happens. And you say, well, why is not something happening? You know, God is faithful. Oh, absolutely. But you have to be faithful too. You have to be qualified for what you are asking for. Okay? And the word is very clear about what the qualification should be. You know, you have to be obedient. You have to be listening. And if you're listening, the Holy Spirit is there after you, trying to get to you, trying to guide you, and trying to tell you the steps, step by step, you have to take to get you where you want. But where God wants you, He wants you to become more and more like Jesus. That's His purpose. That means, you know, being obedient to what the Word says. Being obedient to what, you know, God's direction is. Okay. So here He says, you know, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So not just the author. That's where your faith starts. That's why everybody that is born again should have faith, and the faith, all the faith that you need from that point on to get on and to be finished up. That means, you know, to be improved, to be developed. Okay? But the development is going to take place according to the commitment that we have to the process of salvation. Okay? So, says, therefore, the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so this is, you know, He didn't look at the circumstances and the situation that He had to go through the cross. He didn't understand that the different problems. He just looked at what the goal of God was, and He was following God's will according to the things He had to do to get to that place. And he knew that God wanted him to go and be sitting at his right hand. But what was involved there, you know, to have the victory that he had, was to go through the cross. And he accepted that and said, your will be done, no mine. Okay, no mine in the sense, you know, he accepted God's will, okay, not the personal perception, perspective. And really, that's what we had to do all the time. Okay, we sometimes go through a hard time, and when we go through the hard time, we have to put our trust in God and receive His direction, not tell Him what to do. Because He knows better what we need than we know ourselves. So we have to be open to His direction. So, you know, He doesn't mind to give us everything. All the blessing that are possible down this earth. But, you know, all the blessing we get here are nothing compared to what he really cares about, which is an eternal blessing with Him. So we have to have the same perspective. But even now, we can get the things that we need because He is faithful and just and, you know, understand our, you know, He knows ourselves better than we know ourselves. He made us. And He knows every thought, any idea, anything that we did in the past. We forgot very quickly most of the stuff. We don't even remember. He knows everything. Nice to have a mind like that. But we don't. We are limited. God is unlimited, praise the Lord. And he knows everything. Okay. So to continue there, okay, so this is talking about Jesus, the way he functioned. So the fourth verse 3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. So you see, he went through all these things that did all these evil people, and we are going to have some stuff that we are going to go through also. You know, you say, consider him. Okay, he went through all that. So lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. So you see, by considering him, by considering that he went through everything for you, by considering everything that he has done for you, you should, you know, if you start to get too caught up in those things, you're going to get weary. You're going to be complaining. You're going to be doing the wrong thing and not putting yourself in a place in which you can actually connect with God. That's what he's telling to us. It's very clear later on, okay? Yeah. Here continues, you know, the position that we had to take. The Word of God give us all the instruction that we need to get to victory. And if we just go by that and stick with that, because we believe the Word and we believe what Jesus did, and there is enough evidence for us to put that level of trust, then we are going to get the result, you know, that they are promised to us. Okay, says here, you know, so how you do? You know, verse 4, okay, consider him, I said, you know, not so that you don't become weary, okay, says you are not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Okay, that's what Jesus was doing. Okay, so you have not yet resisted. So that's something that we had to understand. Okay, the principle is the same. We had to resist what are the negative things or the things that are affecting us in a way, okay, that are producing some of the problems. Okay, therefore, you know, he submitted himself to God. He trusted what God has done. That's what we had to do also. That he trusted what God has said would happen. You know, he had to really accept to die to get to the place. God doesn't expect us to do that. But sometimes we had to go through hardship before we get anywhere. But then, you know, the thing to do is we had to go the way Jesus did. Go before God and get direction so that we know what is the right thing to do in our situation. Not according to our own ideas, not according to our things, but according to his ideas and according to his direction that we get from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Then, you know, so he resisted. And we had to resist to the situation we are in. In James chapter 4, verse 7, says, therefore, when you are tempted, when you are attacked, when you are tested, whatever things like that, what you had to do. Therefore, submit to God. That's the first thing you had to do. Just, God, you are in control. I trust that you're going to take care of all my needs according to his riches in glory. So, I'm going to stand there. I'm going to trust God no matter what's going on. Okay? And then it says, second thing. So, first, you trust God. Second, resist the devil. So, if there are things that are affecting you in any negative way, you know, definitely the devil is the one that's going to produce the problem. Okay? Somewhere or another, you got room, he got in, and, you know, you couldn't defend yourself. So, you have to resist it at the moment. Okay? It says, you know, you resist trusting God, and he will flee from you. As you submit yourself to God. So you submit yourself to God, and he's going to guide you in the things you have to do to overcome. That's what he's saying to us. Okay. You know that God doesn't want you to go through those things. But in some way or another, they are there. And because they are there, and you know, there are reasons and there are things that he's going to show you the things that you can do now to change the situation. That's important to understand. Okay. Believing that God is in control. If you believe the devil is in control, then how are you going to fight it? You think you're stronger than he is? Well, you just got caught up the first time, and now you want to, do you think you can overcome him? Oh, yeah, starting making warfare. What do you mean we're making warfare? What do you think you're going to fight? Pick a fight with the devil? Did Jesus, looking unto Jesus, how did Jesus overcome? He obeyed God 100%. He didn't go around and say, I'm going to beat the devil and, you know, and overcome you. He was functioning like you. See, he wasn't operating like God. He was God, but he did not overcome God because he was going to show you how to win. He didn't, you know, it wasn't Jesus that won. God won the battle. Jesus died. Not Christ. Jesus died. Christ wasn't affected by all things. And that's the only difference that we have to go through. But he showed us how to overcome. And the way to overcome is submit to God. That means listen. Just be open to what he's saying. Just don't go and tell God what to do. You see, telling God what you do is not submitting to God. It's playing God. And the devil couldn't care less what you play God or not. He's not intimidated by you. He's an angel. Fallen angels, but still an angel. He's more powerful than you are. Position you take is not you yourself doing it, is if you are in him, if you are Christ in him, then you are not the one who fights, he's fight for you. That's what he did in the Old Testament for the Jews. That's what happens today in the same thing, because it works always the same way. God works and brings the deliverance. You don't bring the deliverance. You are not the Messiah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the way the Messiah did it, it was the right way. You know, he came as a man and did the same thing as you do, but only he was, used by God. And so Jesus functioned and took your place and overcame for you. Now you had to function the same way to line up yourself with him if you want to overcome. Praise the Lord. You draw near to God. Praise the Lord. And he will draw near to you. And then goes here, you know, the instruction is very clear. Okay? One, you know, first verse, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How does it happen? You know, draw near to God. That means, you know, and he will draw near to you. So if he's drawn near to you, it's not just theoretical, it's just that you're starting to have that connection. He's going to start directing you. So you're going to start hearing something. Okay? And then goes, you know, draw near, and he will draw near to you. You know, says, cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-hearted. You know, we have to be careful about something here. You know, sometimes we can have difficulties and testing, you know, that really nothing to do. It's just the natural things happening. You know, if you are getting old and, you're not the same strength that you were when you're young, well, some things are going rusty. So don't tell the devil, you know, that's the natural situation. It's not that you are there, you know, that you are unbelieving. That's the normal things to do for everybody. Okay, so you can say, well, you know, I'm greater than that. Well, you are not yet, with the glorified body. So don't think yourself more highly than you ought to. Hello? You have to see where you really are, you know, and where you are. Nobody has the glorified body yet. Okay? So, not everything is on this, but here for the two particular cases, you know, if you are older, then those two cases do not apply. Or maybe, you know, you have a hard time because, you know, it's more difficult to do the things that you once were doing. Well, you know, get closer to God and God will say, you know, take it easy. Okay? Don't expect for yourself things that you couldn't do before. Okay? So, in that case, those things. But here, I say in two specific cases, okay, you know, cleanse your hand, your sinners, and purify your heart, double-minded. In this case, if there is something there, okay, you know, let me expand there, because lots of people have crazy idea about this stuff because of the stuffing been going on. You know, if you have not been looking after yourself physically for 50 years, and then when you get older, you can do too much because your strength is not there anymore. You know, don't go and complain with God and say, oh, you know, I don't like this. You know, and take it. No, I mean, that's the natural thing you think. You know, maybe you have to start looking after yourself better. I know lots of people that think they walk in faith. They eat junk. They do nothing. They're just, you know, couch potatoes. You know, they do nothing, and then they expect God to do what they don't do. You know, one of the principles that God has, and is very clearly, it tells us, you know, it's called stewardship. You have to be steward of what God has given you. He has given you the ability to think, the ability to work. If you don't do the proper thinking and you do the right thing, don't ask God to do what you didn't do. Okay? That doesn't make any sense. And then they wonder. I mean, there are so many stories of preachers being so stupid because they walk in faith. Let me stop here. No kidding. I mean, this is ridiculous. Okay. But anyway, the idea is, you know, we have to look after ourselves, okay, to function properly. And that's normal. But even if we miss it before, you know, we can go and ask God for help so that He's going to help us. And He's going to tell us and give us some wisdom on how to handle the situation, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. You know, He gives us wisdom and understanding on how to deal with the situation we are presently in. And that's very good and very helpful. And we have to be grateful that God is patient with us. Okay? But if, for example, you know, the Lord, when we have some temptation, some problem we go through, gets stuck, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, look, you know, you have to stop doing that. You know, there is some sin in your life that you have to deal with. You better do something about it if you want God to do something. Or if you have unbelief in working with you, that's the second thing, you know. Purify your heart, double-minded, okay? If you have unbelief in yourself and you don't believe what the Word says, you know, you're not going to get anything. So you have to really deal with the situation the way it is. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, so that you have a personal trainer. He's going to guide you exactly on the things that you have to know, but you have to be open to the trainer. You can have 20 trainers and you don't do what they tell you to do, you know, physically or whatever, you're going to happen, you know, they're not going to make your muscles stronger. They're not going to help you anyway. So you have to respond to what God is doing and listen to him. Is that clear? That's just plain common sense. Sometimes people think that the walking in faith is not common sense, but that's always there. Okay? So, see, in the old, it's time to close, yeah. Better close. All right, I'm closing for now. For now, we're going to see, you know, the way God dealt with in different situations in the Old Testament, and so because these are, you know, things that teach us how to handle our situations today. Okay, we had to deal with God in our situation because He's with us, to walk with us, to guide us, and to enable us to overcome the trials, the temptations, the problems, the whatever we had to face moment by moment. And no matter what it is, no matter how messy we were before, no matter what, you know, He is going to able to for us to find a way to handle that and provide a solution. That's what the Bible promises. We're going to see more next week. Okay. But the idea is, you know, we have the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside us to guide us. That is supernatural provision, okay, to give us direction, to give us understanding, to know what to do. What you don't want than that. This is exactly what you want. And you have it personally, you know, He knows everything about you. In your past, He knows where you are, He knows everything. I mean, no one on this earth can be such a good advisor as the Holy Spirit is. We had to appreciate what Jesus did because it was the best thing that anybody can do if we understand it, how to use it, and we allow that to happen. Amen? So let's close in prayer for today. Next week, we are going to expand a bit more on this, in how this applies to us. Okay. But really, you know, God wants to fight the battle for you. That's the bottom line. You resist the devil, submit yourself to God, and the devil, when it says there, will flee. So, you know, the things that are thrown against you, for whatever reason it is, they're going to get addressed to as well as they can be with the Lord. If needs, then just naturally, even supernaturally. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, the dunamis is supernatural power that He provides in us. So we can expect that. But we have to connect with the source to be able to do that. Not according to our own ideas, our own theology, or what anybody believes, but what the Word of God says. When we do it according to His direction, then He listened to us and we get somewhere the same way. See, we submit ourselves to God. We don't tell God what to do. That's critical. It's not our belief systems that is going to deliver us. It's His Word and the Holy Spirit manifesting in our life. Okay, let's close for now. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit, which is critical in our walk today. That is the way we walk by faith. That is the way we can be obedient to Your will and allow Your will to be manifested in our lives. Thank You for the love and the care that you have for each one of us. We just are grateful and look at you to have direction and information on what we should do and put our trust in you and not in ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, for your word, and for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.